Welcome to the Legal Nurse Podcast, where you'll get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside the legal nurse consulting business. They'll share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with over 30 years' experience. So join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's your host, Pat Iyer.
Hi, this is Pat Iyer, and welcome to Legal Nurse Podcasts. I have with me today Jerry Lance, who is a person that I met at a National Speakers Association conference, which is a wonderful group of people who get together several times a year on a national level and then also in local chapters, dedicated to help people who are experts who share their knowledge through speeches and books and webinars and a variety of programs. Jerry is from the Philadelphia area. He's the founder of Stories That Work, a real intriguing name for a company. And he's got a triple threat. He is a creative guy in a business suit who focuses on content strategy, branding, and marketing as a copywriter. And all of those three things, in my experience in one person, is a pretty unusual combination. I wanted to bring him to the show so he could share his expertise with you. He focuses really on using stories to drive all of those pieces. And his narrative tools result in differentiating brand identities and motivating stories that sell and help people build brands for tomorrow. Jerry's favorite story about business is how to make it grow, and I know that's something that you are interested in as well. Clients who work with Jerry move their brand identities far beyond the same old categories into fresh expressions of their authentic brand values and promised customer experience. Jerry's approach has improved results for business-to-business, business-to-corporation, professional service, and nonprofit clients. Jerry, welcome to the show. I'm so pleased you could join me today.
Well, thank you, Pat. I'm glad to be here. This is a whole new arena for me, and I'm glad to be as helpful as I can.
Terrific. Let's talk about some definitions. I introduced you as a content strategist, a branding expert, and a marketing copywriter. First, what is a content strategist?
Well, let me start off by saying that I actually hate the word content. Everybody acts like content is a big new thing. And we've all been selling content for a very long time. It's this, we're subject matter experts, and that's really our content. Now, yes, you've got to keep providing valuable content that intrigues people, makes them interested in you, makes them want to buy you, which is really what we're all about at the end of the day. But it's that stuff that we talk about, that's deep history of experience that we have, excuse me, the skill sets that we have, and the results, the outcomes that we can produce for clients. It's all about the outcomes. It's not about what we do, but it's about outcomes. I'm going to come back to that later. So that's what content is. And really, when I say strategy, it's just helping people do the very basic things, identifying their target, but also the needs of that target. The big word now is persona. What is the persona of your target? And personas are meant to be living flesh and blood portraits of your target. But I like to use more of a story twist to that. Everything I do has some kind of story tool with it. And what's the turning point? What is the turning point in their work experience or their professional experience where they need what you have to offer? And that's what you've really got to get down. At what point are they looking for you and what you have to offer? So that's really what content strategy is all about. We'll cover other areas as we go through this interview.
It's interesting that you use the word story. Yes, it does, because attorneys who handle cases involving medical issues are confronted every day with multiple opportunities to pull a story out of one of their clients. If that person is a plaintiff attorney and he's bringing in a client who was in a car accident, was rear-ended, then the story is about what happened, what was he doing right before he was hit from behind, how has his life changed as a result of his injury, what roles are different, what treatment did that person have to go through. If the attorney is a defense attorney, the story, for example, might be what happened in the operating room. He's defending the surgeon. What events transpired right before that artery was severed and the blood pressure started dropping? What did the doctor do as a result of that situation? So attorneys are very much about pulling out stories, and think of what they do in the framework of a story. And the legal nurse consultant, as you're saying, is connecting with that attorney client to help develop the story of the case.
You know, it seems to me, given what you just said, that you have one of the richest fields to plow that I've ever heard of in marketing. Most professional service marketers, professional service consultants, are not dealing with life and death. When you talk about cutting an artery, or when you talk about people injured in an auto accident, these are ultimately life and death issues, or severe injury and consequences that go on, could go on for the rest of somebody's life. What dramatic material you have there, and it's perfect storytelling material, because it's a situation that's automatically, there's a lot at stake. A story is defined by conflict. There has to be something at stake. There has to be some obstacle, something that has to get overleaped for somebody to get to the outcome that they want. So if you're talking with, I can't get into the specifics of any legal case that you might have, but I can give you a structure. Stories have to be, are as simple as A, B, C, D. They've got to be about action. That's the A. The best stories start in action, and you could start at that dramatic moment where the mistake occurred and say, oh, I've worked on a case like that. May I tell you about it? And the lawyer says, sure, I need to know. And you go, imagine if you will, and that's kind of a trigger, of the doctor cut the vena cava, you know, I don't know, I'm making that up from high school biology, and the person was in deep trouble and the situation had to be corrected immediately. Suddenly we have a dramatic situation. We know something has to have about it. Instead of doing the right thing, the doctor complicated and the situation by doing the following three things. Then you've got people going, what happened? What happened? Suspense is actually good. One of the things that consultants think they need to have is the answers all the time. No, what you want to do is set up suspense. So you set up a story in action. Imagine the best movies you've ever seen. Don't they usually start in action? They even put action over the credits anymore so that they get you engaged in the story. Play the movie. Let people see it. The B of ABCD is backstory. What's the backstory? How did they get to this situation? They had a horrible automobile accident. They were rushed into the emergency room. There was no time to do a complete run-up and diagnosis. They had to make some judgments, blah, 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 blah. And I know where I am, why I'm there, and you don't want to get too deep into the backstory, because the backstory might actually become the story. So you have to be clear about what your ending is going to be so that your backstory is building towards that. The second, the ABC, the C part, is actually conflict. There's got to be some kind of conflict. There has to be something at stake. I can't let this person die. So it's, what do you get if you win? What do you get if you lose? Or what do you not get if you lose? There always has to be something at stake. There has to be a conflict. The other C is crisis. There has to be a turning point. That final turning point in any story is the climax. The patient died, or the patient became a paraplegic, or the patient was restored to health because his doctor did the right thing, or whatever, whatever. There's got to be a final turning point which really begins the declining action, which is the D, and that's finally the declining action, or as we all learned in high school, the denouement, where there's a new reality, the person is now maimed for life, or the person has been fixed, whatever it is. It's A, B, C, D, action, backstory, conflict, crisis, climax, D, destination. or even where do we go from here? Here are the lessons learned. Here's what we have to fix for the next time. But if you just keep A, B, C, D in your head, you can tell a good story. I've done enough talking. Why don't you react to that? And was that helpful?
Yeah, I love that framework.
It's a good, simple formula.
And it certainly, it's one that I think that we are familiar with, although we haven't spelled it out like that. There is the hero's journey, of a phrase that I'm sure that you're familiar with, but our listeners may not be, of a way of starting a story and introducing a character, and you get to like the character, and then you learn more about that person, and then all of a sudden there's a crisis or a conflict, and that person gets in trouble, and then it has to get resolved, and that's the final destination.
Exactly. Now, there is it may be in the legal field, and you'd have to help me here, sometimes it can be as simple as a dry old case history model, which is situation, action, and result. But after a while, those get a little boring, and they're not engaging. Why do we read journalism? Why do we read stories? Because they start somewhere that's very engaging, where everything isn't always buttoned up. But if you're in front of a judge, and the judge just wants an answer, you say, well, here's the situation, judge. Here's what was done. Here's the action. And the result was, you know, whatever's at the heart of your case. And sometimes they just want the facts. But sometimes it's very, very powerful to tell people an engaging story that's structured in a way that keeps them a little bit breathless, wanting to know what happened. And then the payoff has to be in the direction you want it to be. And I'll give you one last little hint. Whenever you're telling a story, you want to tell it with the end in mind. You want everything to build towards that ending. You actually want to construct your story backwards so that it ends up exactly where you want it to end up and you don't just meander. A lot of people meander and then they take all the power out of their story by just kind of rambling on. You've heard that happen. Come to that dramatic point, and there should be a phrase at the end that's usually some kind of payoff phrase that comes out of the details of the story that helps people remember the story. And if I'm working with somebody, I help them do that.
Mm-hmm.
You had a lot of questions. What else would you like to grill me about?
Well, let's talk about the term promised customer experience, because I know that's also an area of expertise. Can you give us an example of that?
Yeah, and part of this comes out too, and part of my answer is going to come out of our conversation before we started this interview, and that is, a lot of professional service people and consultants and experts think if they say what they do, that that's enough to get them hired. Well, this is why I have at the heart of marketing is making a promise, making some kind of offer. This is what we do. This is what you'll get. But that's not enough. That's just talking at your potential client. I believe that a brand or a company or an expert makes a promise of an experience. It's not just your technical expertise, your subject matter expertise. This is what I know. This is what I do. Please hire me. That's going to get you very little business. It may get you some, especially if you have a reputation and people know you, but a brand or your business proposition is bigger than that. It's more than what you do. It's about what they get, what your customers get. And some people take a very narrow view of that and just put down the benefits. Well, you'll come out with a better outcome. You'll be able to win your case, et cetera, et cetera. But you know what? There's thousands of nurse practitioner, legal consultants who can do that. What differentiates you? So you'd have to say, let me use the term brand to represent the expert. Your brand makes a promise of an experience. That's only 50% of the equation. But there's the client's experience, of that promise delivered. What's that like? And it's bigger than features and benefits of what you have to offer. It's the experience that they have of working with you. Why should I work with you in particular? What I find is story tools actually help people get out of the usual marketing blah blah and just saying the generic list of business skills and expertise that you have and professional credentials and get over into the experience that your customer has in working with you. And as you begin to tell stories about that and case histories, people go, that's the kind of person I want to work with. So it's more than a just left-brain list of skills and attributes. It's also that right-brain, affective, emotional, psychological, you're the kind of person I want to be around. You're the kind of person who's got the kind of the right feel. So it's a brand is the promise of an experience delivered, and the is the promise of an experience, and the experience of that promise delivered by your client, which actually means it's good to talk to your clients. Say, how was this? How was it working with me? Get feedback deeper than you just delivered the results. It's very, very powerful. And especially in the business-to-business arena, most people think they don't go that far. They think that they say, we do this and that, it's enough. It's not. You have to say, why should you want to work with me?
You make me think of a nurse that I interviewed for a podcast recently, Dana Jolly, and she talked about the fact that when it's a really hot day, she'll go to a store in her town and she'll buy gourmet popsicles, and then she'll deliver them to one of her clients' law firms. And as soon as she walks in the door, people perk up. They start having little arguments. Well, you know, I want the cherry one. No, I want the lime one. She gets emails after she's left. They talk to her about how they enjoyed the popsicle. They enjoyed the picking out their flavors. They rave about the taste. Is that part of a promised customer experience?
Well, it could be part about your human caring and your human responsiveness. I would say, if I were in your profession, if I were in the category that your audience is in, I would look at five websites. And on those five websites, is everybody saying the same thing? Do they promise subject matter expertise, industry expertise, customer service? I mean, there's, you know, cost savings, whatever the usual litany is, you'll find them all there. Now what do they say and do about themselves that makes them stand apart? Is it in their brand name? Is it in their tagline? Do they even have a tagline that might express a more emotional reason why we might want to work with you? That kind of little story can support the kind of humanity and caring and true going the extra mile. But I deal with so many people that just use the same old cliches, like end-to-end solutions. I'm tired of the word solutions. You know, it's just anything that everybody is saying is probably not a place to be. Everybody says they're innovative. Well, I just renamed an entire company that wanted to be called, innovative, and I said, don't go there. Your initials will become MIS, Management Information Services. Mm. Instead, we named them, it was the name of the company, it was the name of the founder, Miller Ingenuity. And they have sprung off that word and made acquisitions and introduced new ingenious products. That's almost the human characteristic in that. Not only says we're smart, but we've got some kind of spirit. And also it stands out from their category. They sell railroad parts, for God's sakes. I mean, they sell things that go under locomotives. How do you make that interesting? Well, we come at your problems with a great amount of ingenuity. You can own fresh language. Do you mind if I talk about that for a second?
Oh, please do.
Fresh language is so important. Now, I'm going to give a couple examples that really aren't in your category because I don't have experience in your category. There's a cloud hosting company called Rackspace. Now, that's a wonderful name, by the way, because everybody knows what a rack is because you slide all those servers in a rack. And so they have space on their racks and your data goes up in the cloud. But when you talk to tech people and ask them what word or image comes to your mind when you think about Rackspace, and by the way, their tagline is just about cloud hosting. That's it. It's generic, category generic. But inside everything they talk about is they make a fanatical customer service support promise. They're so fanatical that if they can't make you happy or fix your problem, they will let you out of your contract. That's hugely differentiating in their business. Nobody does that. They lock you into a contract, and whether you love me or hate me, you have to use me for the next 12 months. They have completely broken the mold, and they call their people rackers. Now you're going to go, well, in nursing that doesn't really apply. Well, think about it. There might be some human characteristic, some piece of fresh language. It might come from a client when they're telling you what it's like to work with you. And then you latch onto that. Out of stories comes that kind of fresh language. May I give you one other example? It's much more in a service kind of orientation, because I don't want to go on too long without you having something to bounce off of. I was working with a technology company that sells transportation management software, and their name was Bus Boss. Bus Boss is a great name. This is a thing that bosses buses around, school buses. And we worked with them, and and we talked about that turning point, that need state of every one of the critical people who made a decision whether to bring on this software that reroutes buses, and because it's actually done on maps with pins and rubber bands and string. It's unbelievably horrible. But this is a technology that answers all those kinds of questions, reroutes buses as needed, et cetera, et cetera. And they had, you know, we were the more affordable, easy to use, got it on this whole litany of things that maybe their competition could say. Frankly, they couldn't say all of them. But then we discovered one other human dimension. This is the experience of the promise delivered. What do you think the superintendent of schools wants for kids on a bus? What do you think parents want? What do you think the teachers want? What do you think IT guy wants? What do you think the dispatcher for the school buses wants? What do you think what the school the bus driver wants? They all want to make sure the kids get to where they need to be safely and on time. And deep down in my heart, I said, you know what? What's in that bus is precious cargo. And so it's about, the precious, because your precious cargo is the most important thing. Now, at first, we had the functional line with this other second line that said, because your precious cargo has to arrive safely and on time, you know, where they need to be. And she's finally reduced it to, because your precious cargo is the most important thing. That pulls at the heartstrings of every one of those target audiences. And their business has just exploded. And they focus just on that affective, emotional thing. Yeah, our software will do everything that every other software will do, but we care about what you care about, the children in the bus, without saying cliches. So that's how it works. That's what story that gives you, by looking at the stories of each and every persona and every turning point for those targets. And they should do that for the targets they work with, the lawyers they work with. What do juries need to hear? What do judges need to hear?
Yes, absolutely. And some of our listeners are expert witnesses giving opinions about whether the story that occurred in the healthcare facility was carried out correctly or not. So they have to be able to convey their opinions, use analogies, use examples that the jury would understand.
Metaphors. You just said a very powerful word, analogies. I was once interviewing a guy who worked at Walmart and had been fired, and he was in transition. And he went in there to fix their logistics problem. Well, supposedly Walmart's are logistic experts, but in the particular area he was in, it was chaos. And he said we were going 100 million miles an hour and trying to fix this 747 while it was in flight. I said, well, what was that like? He said it was like going down the Colorado Rapids without a paddle. He came up with a metaphor that people can see. And when you say that, they remember you. They remember your story. And it was particular to him. So that's the language you want to find. Let jurors see the picture. Don't just say the dry facts. Put some metaphor to it. What's it like? You have to ask yourself, what's it like? What else is it like in life? And then people go, oh, life is like that. Oh, I see that. That's a really tense situation. That's why words like train wreck, we always hear train wreck, or the situation was a train wreck. Well, that's why that's so effective. So we can find our own fresh ways of saying that.
And the last hat I'd like you to put on would be your marketing copywriter hat. What tips can you share with us about how to create those compelling subject lines when we're sending out marketing emails?
You know, it's a tough discipline, but I find that there's, as usual, there's nothing really new. Some of the earliest direct mail people who invented starting with how or why or going, let me step back a little bit. It's all about selling logic. Before we get into the email headlines themselves, here's the selling logic. You want to get your target's interest. They have a problem. They have a big, pervasive problem. You want to flag that problem because they say, oh, you get me. Oh, my God, you understand the situation that I'm in. Then what you have to offer, this is kind of a broad outline of what your whole email should do, or any selling piece that you do, or any collateral, or even on your website. You solve this category's, this target's big, pervasive problem. When you say that you've got that problem, they go, oh, they understand me. Just so happens what you happen to offer is the ultimate solution to that problem. And then you want them to say, how do you do that? And then you've got them. Then you can tell stories. Well, may I give you an example? They say yes. And by the way, asking permission is always great. For example, we were working with a surgeon who was whatever, but in fact, he had followed procedures to the nth degree and couldn't anticipate what happened. I don't know. You give a story that gets me engaged. And then you have some kind of call to action. If you're facing a similar situation or you have a knotty problem that you just can't cut through, talk to us. And you give them something. We have a white paper on that, or we have a video, whatever it is. Click here. And then you get their email address. So the real logic chain is, and I'll add one more thing to it, not to confuse you, but they have a big pervasive problem. You have the ultimate solution to that problem. They're going to say, well, how did you, then you answer, well, how did we do that solution? You give them case studies to prove it. But between those two steps, you might also talk about the cost of not fixing the problem. I don't know if that applies to your business or not. So it's their big pervasive problem. You have the ultimate solution. Here's the cost of not fixing it. Then they'll say, well, how do we fix it? You say, well, here we have a process. Here's how we work. Here's some success stories to prove it. And then a call to action. So that's the total selling logic of any marketing piece, whether it's big or small, that you should be following. It's a very effective outline. The headline should somehow flag the prospect. It can be a question. It can be a startling fact. It can always start with how or why. It can start with a number. And for some crazy reason, odd numbers are more powerful than even numbers. Rather than the 6 mistakes you should avoid, it's the 7 mistakes you should avoid in courtroom procedure. That's more powerful than 6. I can't explain it. It's just things that I've read and I've seen it work. And by the way, mistakes are often sometimes more powerful because everybody wants to avoid mistakes, especially in your business, than just solutions. So those are the kinds, and I would say it's really simple. Start with a how or a why or a dramatic statement and say, is this you? You know, stuck in a case that can't get resolved? Here's the path out. Okay. Then they go, oh, I need that. I want that. And then you can talk about what you do. You prove it with a success story and say, if you want to talk some more, I promise you that the first conversation we have, there will be valuable answers, and then we can decide whether there's a fit. You know, allow them to be the salesperson. Always ask their permission. But you see how that logic went again against the outline that I just said? Mm-hmm. Your problem, the ultimate solution, here's some things to prove how we work. What do you want to do next?
And one of the biggest problems that attorneys face is that they've got a pile of medical records that they need to understand, and they don't have time to go through them. They don't understand all of the medical terms. They don't have the patience to set aside 7 or 8 hours to read every part of that record that's germane. And that's where a legal nurse consultant can help them with that pain point.
Pat, you know what you just did? You just listed a great opening for any kind of selfies. Is this you? You've got a stack of medical reports. The terminology is complete gobbledygook to you. There are procedures you don't understand. You have the 7 or 8 hours to plow through it all. You need a guiding hand. Da 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 da. Everything you just said, I would take them right down as bullet points. Yours were better than everything I just said. And you go, now that's their big pervasive problem. They're completely overwhelmed by all this stuff they can't even begin to understand or deal with. They need somebody to take them by the hand, take them out of the woods, and find the big red thread. Here, I'll make up some fresh language. Find the big red thread in all those files you can't even take time to open that will crack your case. See, that's what I mean about fresh language.
Mm-hmm.
What you did was a
mm-hmm.
perfect setup for selfies. Excellent.
Well, thank you. Jerry, I so much appreciate you sharing your expertise with our group. How can our listeners learn more about you?
Well, they can go to www.storiesthatwork.com. A lot of my tools are there. You'll see some videos. They can also go to my LinkedIn profile. It's Jerry with a G, G-E-R-R-Y-L-A-N-T-Z. And they can find out more about what I do there. My preference actually is to work with large organizations, both business to business and nonprofits. I do a lot of work with nonprofits. And I do some consumer work, but that's been very, very limited. I just really love the business world and helping professional service people move their business forward.
Well, thank you so much, Jerry. I appreciate the time that you spent with us. This has been Legal Nurse Podcast, speaking with Jerry Lance about a whole variety of subjects. And I know, Jerry, the next time you encounter the healthcare system, you're going to be looking around saying, I'll bet there's a story over there, and I'll bet there's a story here. And hopefully
yes,
you'll get exquisitely great medical care when you're there.
Thank you.
Thank you. Use the code LISTENED to get a 25% discount on this product. You'll put that code LISTENED in the coupon code box during checkout.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Iyer's resources for legal nurse consultants on legalnursebusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at lncacademy.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on iTunes. We always are interested in your ideas for new topics. Please leave a comment on legalnursepodcasts.com. Join our community and get notified of each new episode and receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on legalnursepodcasts.com. We appreciate you and your interest.